Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Mike Zulovic onto the show today. Mike is a yoga teacher from Bosnia and a yoga studio owner in Sarajevo. He teaches Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga and Vinyasa Krama Yoga and Yin Yoga. So he actually has traveled to India three times, two times to Mysore to study with the Padavi Joyce family, and one time to Chennai to study Sakrama Yoga. So I'm excited to dive into those trips and also into yoga in Bosnia. So thank you so much, Mike, for joining me on the show today.
Thank you, Lily, for having me. It's my pleasure.
Wonderful. So just to kick it off, how did yoga actually come into your life? How did you first hear about yoga or go to your first yoga class?
Good question. As they say, most people change either out of inspiration or desperation. So I was desperate to change my lifestyle. And I was looking for different ways to change my life, basically, because I wasn't satisfied how things were going in my life. And so I was doing a lot of running. And I stumbled upon my first yoga class back in probably 2007, something like that, in Boston, Massachusetts, in Cambridge. I think it was one of the Baron Baptiste studio. So I came from the gym and running, and I thought I was strong. But the first class of yoga really changed the whole perspective on the strength and endurance. And it was love on the first sight, I can say.
Amazing. And so you fell in love with your first class. And then what happened? Did you decide to just start taking classes more regularly or do some YouTube learning? What was the next step for you?
Back in the days and even now, YouTube is more just an inspirational tool, not a learning tool, because yoga, it's impossible, in my opinion, to learn or to teach yoga through videos, even live videos, because yoga requires exchange of the energy and immediate feedback and sometimes even adjustment like physical touch. So I started going to the classes right away, and I was doing research on yoga, and it really interested me from get-go. So as I was doing vinyasa classes and going to different studios in Boston, I just felt that something was missing. You're new to yoga, you're in a group of 20, 30, sometimes 40 people practicing. And for the teacher, even if he or she has an assistant, it's impossible to come and give individual attention to a student just to make sure that he or she is doing it right. So that aspect, something is missing, but I didn't know what I was missing until I found it.
As is the beauty with so many things, right?
Precisely.
And I love how you brought up that yoga is, in your opinion, impossible to teach on videos. I agree with you that there's such a limited, it is so limited, the technology of video for yoga. I agree, the energy exchange, the immediate feedback, just seeing in, like every aspect of the body in such hyper-focused detail can only be done with our own eyes as the teacher. And of course, the manual adjustments can be wonderful, or responding verbally with verbal cues. When we see something's off, it can be so hard if we're looking at a Zoom screen with 30 little tiny squares to
impossible.
Actually see. It is pretty much impossible. But yeah. At the same time, I personally feel gratitude that during the pandemic, when it was forbidden to join yoga classes and things were shut down, not every community could get together in a park or someplace they felt safe. So I'm grateful that there still is an outlet for learning online or for communicating with yoga teachers all over the world and trying different styles with them and getting to spend time. But for real growth in the asana practice or the growth in the pranayama or any element of the practice, I agree, you have to be in person. So what's your thoughts? Did you do it all during the pandemic, any Zoom teaching, or did you just hard no for that?
First, back in 2020, let's say March, when all the hell broke loose, nobody knew what was going on. Everything was shut down and I had to close my studio for about 3 or 4 months. And then after that, I slowly opened up and people who are willing, ready and able to practice, they came. And we practiced. So I do agree with you that technology is an unbelievable and great tool to use. And sometimes it's just so great that I don't have to travel to China to learn Chinese or visit my family who is in the States or wherever. I can do that on Zoom or any other means. And during pandemic, it was just brilliant that we were able to stay in touch as a community and practice together. And I was teaching online classes, but it was an emergency situation. But now more and more people are just becoming complacent and doing it from home. And that's okay too. I respect everybody's choice. I just, in my own opinion, yoga is one of those things that cannot be taught or learned long distance or online. So at times like that, it came very handy to be able to continue the practice and continue the relationship of the community that every teacher built.
So one thing I'd like to ask you too, Mike, is about Vinyasa Krama Yoga. I would love for you to explain for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with that yoga type, what is Vinyasa Krama and what was it like to go to Chennai and study it?
Well, for me, being in Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga for 5, even 6 years, it was a big eye-opener because, as you said, I wanted to learn yoga, so I go to the yoga studio. I wanted to learn Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga. I go to Mysore, to the source, where the Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga was created by Patabi Joyce. So I went there like within a year of my practice of Ashtanga Yoga because I really wanted to learn from the source. And I studied with the Joyce family for, you know, 4 or 5 months altogether, 2 trips. And then in 2015, I went first to Madrid to study with Srivatsa Ramaswamy. And then second time, that was a 100-hour teacher training course that he was teaching in Madrid. And I opened up. I got out of the Ashtanga mindset. I just wanted to see something else and try something else, primarily due to the fact that Ramaswamy was a student of Krishnamacharya for over 30 years. And that's not the case with Patabi Joyce or even Iyengar. They studied with Krishnamacharya a very short period of time. I guess Patabi Joyce was there for 6, 7, 8 maybe years, and Iyengar was even with Krishnamacharya even shorter. Anyhow, so Ramaswamy spent over 30 years studying with Krishnamacharya, who we in the West call a father of modern yoga. These 100 hours I spent with Ramaswamy in Madrid was just a whole life-changing experience in terms of how I look at yoga or how I was looking or experiencing yoga. And so there's a before and after experience with yoga for me, my own practice and my own teaching style. That's why I went to Chennai for the second time to do the same program, 100 hours teaching training, the same thing, but it was in India. So Vinyasa Krama is the way how Krishnamacharya was teaching Ramaswamy. And then you have a Vini Yoga that Desikacharya is teaching or was teaching in Chennai. And now you have... So Krishnamacharya was teaching different students different ways of learning and teaching yoga. So to go back to your question about Vinyasa Krama Yoga, how it's different than Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga is a set of 6 series. You start with the first and you slowly or fast, depending on the body type and your abilities, you progress through postures one by one. In Vinyasa Krama, it's very similar, but there are 10 sequences that you practice. And it's much more detail-oriented than it is Ashtanga. It's a milder approach. There aren't too many vinyasas or chaturanga, up dog, down dog, those jumpings, as it is in Ashtanga. So it's much more accessible to many body types. In Ashtanga yoga, unfortunately, everybody can do Ashtanga, but Ashtanga is not for everyone, for everybody. So, you know, but Vinyasa Krama is a very gentle or gentler approach to yoga asana practice. I can say much more about it, but in a nutshell, there are 10 sequences. There are much more elaborate, like even back bending in Ashtanga yoga in a intermediate series, in second series. There are 6-7 back bending postures and you're in Kaputasana, which is very deep back bend. So I feel that there is not enough preparation for such a big backbend, such a deep backbend. And even Vinyasa Krama yoga, it's one sequence dedicated all to backbending. Backbending at the end, your spine is ready for deeper backbends, such as Laghu Vajrasana or Kaputasana, or Ekaraja Kaputasana, if you will.
Thank you so much for the background on Vinyasa Krama and how it's rooted in the traditions, and also how it compares to Ashtanga Vinyasa. I think that was probably helpful for our listeners, who I know have definitely tuned into other episodes where we've talked about Ashtanga, but I know on the show we haven't talked about Vinyasa Krama. So that was special to get to highlight. So you teach Ashtanga Vinyasa, Vinyasa Krama, and Yin Yoga at your studio. Do you find that these offerings activate different things in your students, or are you kind of surprised at how certain students gravitate towards certain styles? I'd love to hear that kind of behind the scenes, what you observe.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga is really straightforward. You look at the body type and you try to bring yoga to that type of body, not that type of body to yoga, because some teachers teach how it is on the picture of any other teacher. But my body is not that type of body, and my skeletal system is not like that. So I try to accommodate yoga to every different body type. And that Vinyasa Krama helped me to be able to do that and gave me the tools. So now when I have some people come to Ashtanga yoga, they say, no, come try Vinyasa Krama yoga. And then do a month or two with that kind of a style of yoga asana. And then maybe again, try to do Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga and then see what really resonates with you, what's better for you. And then Yin Yoga is just the beautiful sister of the young brother yoga style. So then you have a young style, Vinyasa Krama or Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga, and you do Yin Yoga, and then you are in balance. But if you do only yang, I think that's not sustainable in the long term, doing a lot of yang styles of practices, because even our daily life is pretty much yang. We have to get up, we have to go to work, to school. It's all about physical activity. Yin yoga is about staying still for 3 to 5 minutes and do nothing except to breathe. So it's perfect combination in my opinion.
Yeah, it really is. And I love how you highlighted how our lives are so yang. You know, we have all the stimulation, all of these things to do. We're usually busy and hectic and going either from one place to another physically, running errands or having a full schedule of meetings, or we're going places constantly in our mind, from one email to one project to another phone call. And that's all very yang, very active. And it's so often I find that students want yang in their yoga. They're like, no, I need to go. I need to power through. I need to sweat, or I need to, if I sit still, my mind will go crazy, because they're just used to that momentum. So it's an amazing thing to do yin yoga, or even slow hatha, where it's so challenging. They have so much resistance to it. Mm-hmm. And when there's something that shifts, and they say, ooh, actually, I need that. Or they notice the difference in their mind and their energy after the class. It's just so powerful.
Exactly. And sometimes the mind is so busy that some people have such a hard time staying in a 1 hour long yin yoga class. The mind is just so busy that it's painful for some people to be still.
So if that's the case with some of your students, or if some of our listeners are saying, hey, oh, that's me, what advice do you offer up to those students who find it painful to sit still, either in meditation or in yin-based yoga practices?
Use it as the best guru that you can have, a best teacher that you can have. It teaches you patience, teaches you to slow down. Use it as an opportunity, not as a adversity, not as an enemy. Just use it to your advantage to see why I am having such a adverse a reaction to something that wants to slow me down. What is it inside of me that is preventing me off slowing down? It's an opportunity to grow and to understand yourself, in my opinion.
Yeah. Absolutely. It can be an amazing teacher. Anything that we resist, anything that we feel something strongly arise in us, I think we can always use to see ourselves more clearly or provide insight on things we haven't processed.
If we can just stop, recognize it, and try to understand it.
Yes. Yeah. So I also would love, Mike, to ask you, I ask every guest on the show, but you hinted too that Vinyasa Krama kind of changed your whole perspective on yoga and what yoga is. So my question is, what is your definition of yoga?
I'm still trying to find out. You know, after 14 years of practicing yoga, it's changing me daily. It really is something that it's a daily tool for me to check in and to see how is my mind, how is my body, and how am I doing now, and how was I doing 10 years ago, physically, mentally, emotionally. Am I a better person today than I was yesterday, today than I was 5-10 years ago? I think I am, and I think I am changing. I think I am growing, and I just have to show up on my mat, do my practice however long I have time for it, and just show up and do the practice. And yoga is being curious of who you are, trying to figure out all of the layers that you have been given from the day you were born. Try to peel them off one by one, one by one, one by one, and understand that most of the things we do and how we behave and how we react is learned behavior from our parents, from our friends, from the system. Many teachers are out there teaching us things that they think are right thing for us, but they don't know. Even our parents don't know what is right for us because we are not them. So yoga is a journey of discovering who you truly are.
That was beautiful, Mike.
Thank you. That's, again, as I said, I'm still trying to figure out what yoga is. There are definitions, clear definition. What's yoga? And everybody listening to this podcast can go and type in Google yoga, and they're going to have many definitions. And they're all somebody else's opinion of what yoga is. You have to, for yourself, find out what yoga is for you. Not what Patanjali says or some teacher or whomever, but just what is it for you? How is it changing on a daily basis?
Yeah, you do have to learn for yourself. And as you brought up, there's so many learned behaviors we've picked up from our parents or from society, culture, but there's so many learned ideas of what yoga is as well. Maybe if you think it's just an exercise or religion or a cult, the list would go on and on. There's so many different things that your community or even social media has projected onto yoga. So I think being curious and really finding that out yourself, of course, I think education's amazing. Do reading, listen to yoga teachers like you and I and others around you to say, okay, what could yoga be? What could it be? And then find your own answer.
Yeah. And if you're looking for yoga for you to be a physical activity, that's what yoga is going to be for you. If you're looking to be more spiritual or mindful or go and study Hinduism, yeah, yoga asana is going to help you achieve that. If you want to be a better human being, yoga can help you with that. It's all about the volition. What is it inside of you that is bringing you into yoga?
Yeah, yeah. And I think also being mindful about how that can change. Because in the beginning, maybe you came to yoga just because you said, I have back pain, I need some relief. And that was your goal, was to relieve back pain. And then you, over 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 years, it slowly changed. And if you take that time to pause and reflect, as we talked about, being still and listening to ourselves, then maybe you'll discover, oh, actually yoga now isn't about relieving back pain. Yoga is about finding space for self-care, space to hear myself think, or space to be alone, or space to progress on a spiritual journey. There's so many possibilities, but also I think it's important to tune in, not just once, you know, in your lifetime, what's yoga, just to revisit that. I think we all grow
daily. Yeah. And again, back pain or shoulder pain, what is the source of the pain? Sometimes it has nothing to do with that physical pain. Could be an emotional pain. It could be some trauma from when we were 1 or 2 years old. During that source of the pain, not just the physical, oh, I feel better now, I can move my shoulder freely, or I can bend and touch the floor with my hands. Yeah, that's wonderful. But again, where was that pain coming? What is the source of the pain? That's also a beautiful thing about yoga, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's all interconnected. It's not just this physical level. We have all the koshas, all the sheaths and layers. And so I think yoga teaches us to go a little deeper than just that, the easiest surface level of, I have back pain. That's just level one. What can you do to investigate more?
Right. There was so much more pain hidden, not felt physically, that was there, and that physical pain was the final call to stop and do something about it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, Mike, too, I would love to shine a little light on your yoga studio and to ask you more about yoga in Bosnia as well. I would love to hear, was it popular 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Is it, you think, the peak or zenith of popularity now? And what's going on the yoga scene in Bosnia?
Yeah, it was a different journey, I want to say. I arrived in Sarajevo in 2010. In 2011, I was in Mysore. I was living in Boston before I came to Sarajevo. And I was born in Sarajevo, but I lived in the States for many years. So when I came here, when I moved back to Sarajevo, there were like two studios open in Bosnia, and there was nothing that like what I used to in the States. Very different. So I checked out one, and the other one I didn't even go, and it just wasn't what I was looking for. So after I came back from India, I was still very young, so to speak, in all the yoga world and practice. But I was having my daily practice, and I was so excited about how quickly it was changing me, changing my body and my mind and my thinking. And I wanted to also share with other people, so I started teaching. So when I went back to Mysore for the second time in 2015, I spoke to Sharat and I said, I'm teaching yoga in Sarajevo. He goes, already? I said, yeah. Do you want me to quit, to stop? He goes, no, but it's too soon. I didn't know back then what he meant by it, but now I understand. I wish I spent 5 or 10 years being a student and learning with another teacher instead of teaching it right away. But I guess that was my karma, and this city needed that, because this country was going through a war in the 90s, and a lot of people are left with serious PTSD, and I felt the energy, and I felt that this was my call to stay here and to teach. And I started teaching, and at the beginning it was very tough, like my Mysore program in the morning, first 6 months, no one showed up. I was just there for 6 months doing my practice and waiting till 8 o'clock in the morning. No one showed up. I would lock it up and go home. And that's what I did for 6 months, because people are just not used to getting up in the morning and going to do yoga practice. So I had to be stubborn and believe in what I was doing, or maybe I was just being crazy and insane to do something like that. But anyway, so it wasn't, Vinyasa yoga wasn't popular. Ashtanga yoga wasn't even present here. So I just believed in it because it helped me tremendously, changed me. And I just wanted to share that with others. And then slowly people started coming and then experiencing Vinyasa yoga, Ashtanga yoga. And it was just like, wow, what is this? And the other yogas they tried wasn't anything like what I was teaching. And then slowly, year after year, and now after a decade, people walking down the street with the yoga mat under their arm and just drinking juice or a smoothie. And it's normal. But 10 years ago, it wasn't like that. So it was a very challenging. I just loved it. And I had faith and love for yoga. And I was just going to give it a time, give it a 3-5 years. And I'm so glad I did. And now it's a very different scene, as I said. And I'm happy that many people are practicing now. There are many studios in Sarajevo now, maybe 10, even more. And a lot of these studio owners were practicing with me or with my ex-wife. I'm so happy to see that there are many studio centers in Sarajevo that people can go to and practice yoga.
Me too. I'm so glad to hear that it's really blossomed. And what dedication for you to show up every single morning for 6 months without a student coming. That is amazing to hear that you have that tenacity and will and that faith that it's, you know what, I'm going to come and I'm going to show up and they will come sooner or later.
I showed up for my practice and then I was waiting for students, and now it's 12 and a half years that I've been teaching Mysore morning program. And now there is a core group of dedicated students who are showing up at 5, 6, 6:30 in the morning doing their practice before the school or work. So I'm just happy to see that. And I'm very thankful and grateful for every single one of them who shows up in the morning, because I know how hard it is to go first to stop eating at a certain hour, then go to bed at a certain hour, and then to be able to get it up and come and do the practice. So it's a lot of discipline, and I really appreciate every and each of my students who are developing that discipline and developing better version of themselves.
Oh, Mike, I love how you brought that up, that their discipline isn't just showing up in the morning. It's also the discipline to stop eating at a certain hour, the discipline to show up. It's almost in the whole day. It can be in the whole day as well. Do I have an extra glass of wine or 4 beers? Or if I do, that means I can't go to class in the morning. You really have to make decisions based on your practice.
And know your priorities.
Yes. Know your priorities. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of students come to realize without even realizing it. They just start making all these decisions because they know, oh, I have to wake up early for my class. They don't acknowledge how much discipline they actually do have. So if any students are listening and they're realizing, oh, wait, that's me. I think Mike and I just want to say just great job. And we acknowledge how hard that is to make.
Yeah, kudos. Kudos to all of you who are mindful day before your practice, because that's how you change the patterns. That's how you change old habits of staying up late, as you said, drinking one beer or one glass of wine, or instead of taking a whole bottle of wine or 4 or 5 beers. And then next day, what are you good for? You just go for the coffee and to wake up and drag your body to the work and school, or whatever. But then again, people make choices, whatever fits their lifestyle. And we are talking about the yoga world. And I think that yoga is asking you to change some things and not to give up on life, not to give up on what you consider is a joy that brings you joy. Yeah, you can go out with your friends. You can have a glass of wine, but not two, not three, not four. Friday is Friday night is night when we can chill because Saturday morning we don't have a practice and we can take it easy. But Monday to Friday, we try to stay focused and really be mindful. What do we put inside of our body? The food, the information, and the energy, and all of that is feeding on our body. So we just try to be a little bit more mindful of what kind of stuff we put inside of our bodies.
Absolutely. And so in case, Mike, some of our listeners aren't familiar with Bosnia or don't know much about it, would you mind talking more about your country and what Bosnia is like?
Well, Bosnia is or was one of the six states of former Yugoslavia. Again, Sarajevo is the capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina, and what was a host to 1984 Winter Olympics. It's a beautiful city where you can see Ottoman and Austro-Hungarian empires colliding in a city. You can just see the where one empire ended and when the other one took over. You can see that in our architecture. You can see that in the buildings. And so it's like where East meets the West, sort of. And it's very multicultural, very welcoming country. People are very friendly and welcoming. So I think it's one of those places that you can still feel that life is not as fast-paced as in most Western countries. Sometimes Sarajevo reminds me of my trip to Nepal, when people have a time to sit down and talk to each other and drink coffee and not to schedule the coffee. Oh, today I can't, but let me put it on the schedule for tomorrow, 12 o'clock, or can you do it? It's like life is more spontaneous. So I think that this is one of the places that you find still the quality of life and people are still turned towards each other, not away from each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a special space and place to have those type of cultural values where it's, okay, let's go a little slower. And Mike, if any of our listeners are maybe planning a trip to Bosnia or want to learn more from you or have a question for you about something you said, I'm going to link your Instagram and your website here in the show notes and on my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Bosnia. But would you want to say here on the podcast itself what your Instagram account is and your website URL?
The website is ashtangayogasarajevo.com. And I do have an Instagram account, which is Mike_A_ZU_yoga, Mike Azu Yoga.
Awesome. And I think you also have Instagram @YogaSarajevo, right?
Correct. Yes. We do some posts about events. We do have some kirtan nights, potluck dinners, movie nights, and guest teachers and stuff like that. We have yoga festivals and yoga retreats.
Is there a yoga festival in Bosnia?
Well, I started one 4 years ago, and it has been very successful. We had 70, 80 people 1 year coming to this beautiful place in a valley on the lake, and it's just great. Very laid back, very rustic, and very in a very beautiful surrounding in the nature of the lake. So it's great. Yeah.
Oh, magical. And is that called just Yoga Festival Sarajevo or any specific name?
No, it's called Universal Love Yoga Festival.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'll check that out and hopefully some of our listeners will as well. And yeah. I just want to say thank you so much, Mike, for taking time to have this beautiful conversation with me. It has been a joy to be with you.
Thank you, Lily. You're doing a great job and I really applaud you for doing such a big and so interesting project to interview yoga people around the world. So great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Mike Zulovic, a yoga teacher from Bosnia, was so illuminative as we took a deep dive into Vinyasa Krama Yoga and about how Yin Yoga is the sister to her brother Yang Yoga. I hope that this conversation made you curious about so many things, but mainly and mostly curious about yourself. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that will hopefully spark a journey of discovering who you truly are, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.